is awesome. I don't like to let people too much into the mind of a preacher. It might mess you up real bad. But I want to just kind of give you the process of this week. I wanted to do my, and I told the men in this men's prayer meeting, I wanted to get the my Christmas message and ready for tonight. So normally I would write my sermon for Sunday morning first and then later on work on the evening message. But I spent time getting the Christmas message ready for tonight. And by the way, the song that they sang, the choir sang, What Kind of King? Tonight the name of the message is, He's a Gracious King. So as I was working on that, I got it, finally got it all done, and I was excited about it. And I don't really always tell my wife, but I said, I'm excited about it. I got the message already. And then I turned in my Bible to the go to the book of Mark to prepare for the Sunday morning message. And I was amazed at how the two messages go together. And you say, well, you planned that. You don't know me. I can't plan anything like that. I'm not that smart. The Lord has to orchestrate those kind of things. And so tonight, I want to preach on the gracious King, because that's what kind of King He is. He is a gracious King. And this morning, I want to preach on the Son of David. So take your Bibles and go to the book of Mark, chapter number 12, and this will be our next portion of Scripture. If you'll stand with me in honor of God's Word, we're only going to read three verses, and I'm going to preach on the Son of David, but the Lord of all. Now, I want to remind you, let me read the text, and then I'll let you be seated. I'm going to try not to start preaching right off. And Jesus answered and said, now, this is an answer that Jesus had given these Sadducees and Pharisees and we might even say the Sanhedrin Council, but this particular, the scribes had come to him with another question, and Jesus Christ made it very clear that they were not very far from the kingdom of God. So after these three times of coming at him, Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Now I want to preach this morning. Now you got to stay with this because this is a classic in the sense that the Lord is giving them an invitation to come to him once again. Now there is, in the middle of this passage, while there is an invitation given to them to be saved and an invitation for them to realize who he is, it's going to be really the last invitation to the religious crowd. In the middle of this passage, I believe that not only do we, in the first part, an invitation, but we also see that there's a misconception of who Jesus Christ is. There's a misconception of Messiah here. And then I like it because the Lord is actually, in the last part and really in the whole context, he's exposing the Scripture. He is actually preaching to them an expository Bible message which should always be followed up with an invitation. That's how we preach. We expose the Scriptures. While there is some misconception while the preacher is preaching, there is still the truth that is contained in the message as long as it's coming from the Bible. Then there's an invitation that should be given. And Jesus Christ wants these people to know that He is the Son of David. And He is the Lord of those who will accept Him. And He's trying to get them to understand this, brother. They're not far from the kingdom of God. And so we're going to look at that as God would help us this morning. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truths contained within the Scriptures. And Lord, this message that You brought to the scribes here after being attacked three separate occasions, You were still a good God and a gracious God and was still willing to save and willing to preach the truth. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord of all, that today the Holy Ghost of God would speak to their heart, convict them of their sin, and they would repent and trust Christ before it's too late. Because, Lord, we understand that it was just about too late for these that He was preaching to. But I'm also reminded of a scripture in the book of Acts that said many of the priests did get saved. So I can't prove it, Lord, and I don't know for sure, but I do know that You exposed the scripture to some scribes and to some priests, and I'm hoping that these men that You preached to were some of those people that the book of Acts talks about getting saved. But Lord, today we need those that are not saved to hear the word and to trust You. So I pray the message would be very concise and very clear today in its presentation. And Lord, we'll give You the honor and give You the glory and thank You for the music that we have been able to enjoy. We know, Lord, that it's been glorifying to You. And I hope that our hearts were right with You, and I hope our heart will be right even now as the message is preached. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Three times, three messages that were before where we're at in the text today, we find that the religious crowd has come against Jesus Christ. He's in the temple. He's in Jerusalem. He's there, and they've been waiting for Him, if you would. They've been wanting to catch Him in His words. They have wanted to discredit Him before the people. They hate Him. They are convicted by His life. They are convicted by His miracles. They are convicted by His words, because we understand from the scriptures that the Bible tells us that no man spake like this man. And so they are doing everything they can to try to catch Him, trip Him up, and try to discredit Him in any way that they can. But praise God, they failed at every occasion, and they failed at every turn, because Jesus Christ was able to answer them as the Word of God. He answered them with the Word of God because He was the Word of God. And my friend, you cannot argue with God's Word. You can, but it doesn't do you any good. And that's exactly what happened with the Pharisees and the Herodians in verse 13, and then the Sadducees that came to Him in verse number 18, and then the scribes that would come to Him in verse number 32. All of these people had come to Him, and Jesus Christ did the same thing with them that He did with Satan in the beginning of His ministry. When Satan came to Jesus Christ in the very beginning of His public ministry, Jesus Christ answered the devil with the Word of God. At the end of His ministry, if I could put it that way, His human ministry, at the end of His ministry, He's still giving the message with the Word of God. Now let me just go back, if I can, and do a little bit of a historical setting here about the Messiah, because Jesus Christ is going to preach to these men about the Son of David and who David was and how the Messiah was to come from the Son of David. And then in verse 36, He's really going to give them something that they were not ready for. Historically speaking, the Jewish people viewed the Messiah as nothing more than a man. They were looking for a man who would come on the scene and be an earthly ruler who would rule with power and influence. And at this time, they would have loved it if this Messiah or this man would have come and overthrown Rome, because they hated Rome. And we've looked at that. I can't re-preach every message, but they hated everything about it. They hated Rome so much that we looked at, they wouldn't even carry a Roman coin. They wouldn't have anything to do with Rome. They hated Rome. And they were not looking for a Savior Messiah. They were looking for a Savior Messiah for the governmental speaking, not the Savior of mankind. So I will say this. They wanted somebody that would conquer Israel's enemies. They wanted someone that would fulfill the promises given to Abraham, repeated to future generations, and expanded in the promises given to David, the King David, as a coming king in a kingdom. Now we understand this, and they understood this. Listen, they understood this very clearly, and they spoke about this aspect. They understood that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. All right, so they understood that part. And like David did, they were looking for somebody to defeat the enemies of Israel and bring in a glorious kingdom upon the earth, not necessarily a spiritual kingdom. The Jews viewed the Messiah as a savior of a nation, not the savior of individual souls. They did not, and many still do not, believe that Messiah would actually come as God in human flesh. But he did through the virgin birth. We understand that. See, listen, I told you I'd get a Christmas message in there this morning. In Mark chapter 11, in verse number 28, I want you to just, we're still in this introductory phase. Go back to Mark 11, 28. And they said unto him, "By what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things?" They were totally upset that Jesus Christ preached with authority, healed with authority, spoke with authority, preached with authority. Hey, he's God. He has all authority. I want to get you to understand this morning that we understand from the Word of God that he is the Word of God and he had all authority. All right, so he was doing the things he was doing because he was doing it with authority. Now, what this really does now is by the time we get to our text and we get to the three previous messages or the three previous encounters of this religious system coming against them, that pretty much seals the deal, brother, that they didn't believe he was the Messiah. Do we all understand that? Now, you got to stay with me this morning because if I'm excited about this, you need to be. All right? And if you're not, I'm going to preach till you get excited about it. All right? Now, I want you to think about some things. Despite his words and despite what he did, his works, so we could say his works and his words, and just so you can have some passage of Scripture, John 7:46 says this, "Never man spake like this man." He didn't speak like the scribes. He didn't speak like the Pharisees. He didn't speak like the Sadducees. He spoke with authority. What he said was true. They never heard something like this. I mean, it made sense. It's almost like somebody coming into a church, and I've heard this before, somebody coming into the church, and then later you go to visit them, or they say to their friend he actually preached out of the Bible. Well, duh, that's where we're supposed to be preaching out of. And they said about Jesus, nobody's ever spoke like this. In John 5:36, listen to this. It says this, "For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." In other words, Jesus said, listen, only God can raise the dead. Only God can cleanse a leopard. You understand that? Jesus Christ was doing the works of God because he was God, sent from God, the Son of God. And they didn't believe that. That's the only way I can put it. That's why they hated him. That's why they came against him. That's why they wanted to catch him in his words. That's why they wanted to discredit him. And my friend, always Jesus Christ answered with the Word of God because he was the Word of God. Now here's what they should have done. They should have got saved. They should have believed. They should have said, listen, you can't deny what's taking place. You can't deny these truths. Now, we understand this. We understand that Jesus is in Jerusalem and he is going to be crucified. And we know that he's going to do it for the sins of all mankind. But I'm just trying to get you to look at it from the human perspective of these religious leaders. They were the ones that were supposed to know everything about the Bible and they didn't know nothing about the Bible. And Jesus is standing before them. And in our text this morning, he's going to give them one last opportunity to be saved. Instead of being saved, they hated Jesus because, listen to this, he assaulted their theology. Their theology was bad. It was a works for salvation. It was a, I've got to do this or I've got to do that and I've got to keep this law and I've got to do all these. Jesus Christ assaulted their theology. I want to assault anybody's theology that believes they can do anything to get to heaven by their works. There is nothing you can do to get saved. There is nothing you can do because it's already been done on the cross of Calvary. He rebuked their hypocrisy. He disrupted their business operation in the temple. He had influence among the people because they understood he was preaching the truth, therefore diminishing them, the religious crowd, in the eyes of the people. He publicly denounced them. He exposed their corruption and their hypocrisy. He presented the divine view of true Christianity and true religion, and it was the very opposite of theirs. In fact, he had made it very clear, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise be saved whatsoever. And more significantly, or maybe I should say most significantly, they hated Jesus so much and sought to kill him. Now here's what they said. They wanted to kill Jesus Christ because they said he was a blasphemer. They said he claimed to be God. I declare you this morning, he was God. He was God. They were desperate to get rid of him. And the Sanhedrin Council had sent three attempts to try to trap and destroy or to discredit Jesus Christ. And I already told you those in verse 13. The Pharisees and the Herodians, who literally hated each other, but yet were willing to come together to catch Jesus in his words. The Sadducees in verse 18 did not believe in the resurrection, and they came against Jesus and they left sad, you see. And finally, the scribes, the lawyers, those that were supposed to be the exposers of the law and the teachers of the law, came to him. Now we must give them a little bit of credit here, because they are more genuine according to the text than the other two groups, because we read in verse number 34, that they saw that he answered, and they used the word discreetly. He said unto them, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So I'm going to use that in just a minute. But here's what I want to get you to understand. After three attempts, Jesus Christ is going to do something that every Bible believer should do. Turn the tables and just say, why don't you explain this scripture to me? You know, you come to me and ask me about tribute money. Is it okay to give money to Caesar? And they thought, well, listen, either the Herodians are going to get him or the Pharisees are going to get him on this one. And Jesus basically said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But then I believe more importantly, he said this, and render unto God the things that belong to God. Basically, he left them like this. He didn't say what they wanted him to say. They weren't able to catch him in his word. Why? Because he was using the word of God. And so Jesus Christ is going to turn, he's going to preach to them a Bible verse. He's going to open up the Psalms and he's going to preach to them a passage of Scripture. He's going to pose to them a question, and it's going to prove, once again, that they're unable to answer. And here's what I want you to understand. This is a final, final invitation to this religious crowd. Now let me say this as a way of application. You never know when your last invitation has been given. You just don't know. You look right into the truth of the Scripture, and the Holy Ghost of God convicts you about something, and you deny it, you reject it, you say no to it. I can't answer the question. I pray, I hope the grace of God would be sufficient to give you another chance, but you don't know. Here, you think about this. These men had been given many chances. They had seen many miracles. They had heard many messages. They had seen Jesus Christ interact with the people. And the people, as a common people, they accepted what he said because they understood that it made a whole lot more sense than what the Pharisees were giving them. And so the message this morning is really is a revelation to us that you don't know when the last time is. You don't know when the final invitation will be given. So verse 35 is what I call the final invitation. Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, let me ask you fellas a question. All right, I want to pose a question to you. How save the scribes that Christ is the Son of David? Yeah. Now, do the scribes say that the Messiah? Now listen, you understand this. I hope you understand. The word Messiah in the Old Testament is the same as the word Christ in the New Testament. Jesus Christ actually means Jesus Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. So Jesus Christ looked at the crowd, the religious crowd, these men that have made encounter to him about what the greatest of all commandments is, or what the great commandment is, the first commandment. And he tells them, hey, listen, to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind. They agreed with that. They agreed with it in their mind, but they weren't agreeing with it in their heart. So he says to them, by the way, let me go back to this. Brother Brian, we were talking about this. He brought this to my attention, so I made it the first part of my message. Here's a great revelation as far as this. In verse 34, Jesus Christ said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. The Bible says, when Jesus saw that, he answered, listen to this, discreetly. Now the word discreetly means this. It means that Jesus Christ understood that they had an intelligent understanding in their mind what Jesus Christ was saying was true. Now, you can be here this morning and you can say, hey, listen, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you go, I believe that intellectually, I believe that. You can say, I believe Jesus Christ was a good man, a prophet. I can say Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And you can believe that in your mind, in your intelligence. My friend, it won't do you any good till it reaches your heart. Till you completely turn everything over to Him, repent, and trust Christ as your Savior. You can sit in Sunday school, you can sit in church, you can be a church member, you can be baptized and die and go to hell. Because all you got was discreetly or intelligently or in the mind, and you never trusted Him in the heart. And Jesus Christ is looking at these men and saying, fellas, you're close. You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not. And again, it reminds us of John 3 when Nicodemus came to Him and said, how can a man be born again? How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus Christ said, I'm not talking about being born physically. I'm talking about being born again spiritually. I'm talking about getting saved. Those are Bible terms, by the way. Getting saved, born again, trusting Christ. All of these things are right there. Not being in the kingdom of God. And what we have here now, because of that, Jesus said, hey, you're not far. Let me give you one more opportunity. Now, just because it was the final invitation that Jesus Christ gave, doesn't mean they didn't get saved later on. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying Jesus Christ, this is His last and final message to the religious crowd. Right to the very end, here's what I want you to get you to understand, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was a compassionate evangelist all the way to the very end. They were rejecting Him. Their attitude stunk. Everybody agree with that? They didn't come to Jesus wanting to know truth. They wanted to catch Him in His words. They wanted to discredit Him. They hated Him. Jesus still loved them. Still had compassion on them. And He still preached the way of salvation. By the way, He was preaching that He was the way of salvation, and He is still that way of salvation. Preacher, I just don't understand that. He's trying to get them to understand. Now listen, do the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? Well, yeah, of course He is. Come back tonight, and I'm going to preach the rest of that. But I'm just telling you, they understood that. Now think about this. Jesus Christ had no pleasure in those that reject Him. After the entry into Jerusalem, riding on the colt, the Gospel of Mark does not record what Jesus Christ said. All right? It doesn't. We didn't really deal with this in the book of Mark. So after the what we call not so triumphal entry. Remember that? Come on, somebody remember that message. I know, we preached about it. And at the end, everybody's gone. And Mark doesn't record the words of Jesus. But you know what? Luke does. So I want you to go to Luke 19, because this is key here, that after He did that, after He rode through, and after they throw down the palm branches and throw down their clothes and cried out messianic terms like Hosanna, And all of that. Luke chapter 19 tells us what Jesus Christ said. It begins in verse number 41. Now just so you'll know, if you go back to verse number 28, you'll find it says in your Bible, the triumphal entry. We said it's not that triumphal. So the triumphal entry ends, and then you go to verse 41 and look what Jesus says. And when He was come near, He beheld the city. and he wept over it. And here's what he said. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now here's what I want you to get across. In verse 41, he didn't just say it as a judgmental thing. He said it as he was crying his eyes out. As his compassion was looking over Jerusalem, he was crying and he said, you don't realize what you're missing. You don't realize what's been given to you. You don't realize the invitation that has been preached. All you're looking for is a triumphal king, somebody that would overthrow Rome. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I came to seek and to save that which is lost, and you've rejected me. And I'm just saying, through all of that and all of this bad attitude, he still has great compassion for them. He still invites them to come and to be saved. I want to tell you something. While these men were close to the kingdom of God, I love the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. And if you want to turn there, fine. If you don't, I'm going to read it to you. So look up here and listen. The Bible says, and the word of God increased in Acts, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. This is after the resurrection. But notice this little phrase here. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's who Jesus is dealing with here. This is who he's telling you're not far from the kingdom of God. Preacher, do you think it was these men that got saved? I don't know, but I sure like to think some of them did. I know a great company of them did. I know Jesus is preaching the truth to them. But you know what the problem is? Every time a guy gets up, a man of God gets up and preaches the word of God, slobbers all over the place, his vein pops out and he's preaching from the Bible, there's always misconception. Now there is an invitation, but there's many times a misconception. And I want you to look at verse number 36. And we're getting closer and closer to this message. You wouldn't even believe how close we are. Wow. For David himself said by the Holy Ghost. Now, first of all, the scribes, what do they say about David? What do they say about the Messiah? Do they say the Messiah is the son of David? Yes, they do. Okay, well, Jesus said, okay, for David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now listen, I want you to understand, these people, they read the Psalms. They knew the Messianic Psalms. They understood it. They believed the Messiah was the son of David. But at the same time, did we not hopefully we've already come to this conclusion? Even though they believed that the Messiah was the son of David, they rejected Jesus as that Messiah. Matthew 9:27 says, and when Jesus departed thence, two men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Some people believed that he was the son of David. The blind people did. Matthew 12:23 says, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, you know, they're going, hey, this is the Messiah. This is the son of David. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not care. He does all this by the devil. Remember that? This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub. I'm sorry, the prince of devils. So here's what I'm trying to get across. Jesus has given them one final invitation. They've got great misconception. They understand that the Messiah is the son of David. They understand that. The problem is they don't believe Jesus Christ is that Messiah. So here's what Jesus Christ does. I love this. Now this is good. He exposes the Scripture. We call that expository Bible preaching. All right? Jesus preaches from Psalm 110, verse number 1. Go there. All right? You don't even have to go there because he's already told it. We've already read it. But just so you'll know that he's preaching the Bible, and they didn't have the New Testament like we have the New Testament. Everybody understand that? He did preach the Bible. And Psalm 110. This is awesome. Now this is where I'm getting excited, all right? So I'm going to try to calm myself down. Breathe in, breathe out, all right? Look at this messianic psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Wow. Now here's what, you got to get a hold of this now. This is what is called expository Bible preaching. That's why I do it. The message from the text is this. The Messiah could not merely be a man. Remember when we first started the message? That's all they thought. They thought he was just merely a man looking to come and overthrow the government. Jesus says, let me preach the Bible to you. Let me expose the text. Let me expose a messianic psalm. The message is the Messiah cannot merely be a man since David referred to him as Lord. Sit thou on my right hand till I make my enemies thy footstool is exposing the fact of divine position of power. It shows, in fact, that he is co-equal with God the Father in rank and authority, and it proves his deity, that Messiah's rule would be absolute as God will make his enemies their footstool. And Jesus said, he's not just a man. He's more than a man. David said he's Lord. Go to Joshua chapter number 10. Now I'm not preaching. Everybody understand this? Listen, this doesn't count on my preaching time. Now we're going to do a Bible study. All right? Go to Joshua chapter 10. And I want you to see this applied in the Bible. Now look, God said, now listen, Messiah, he's going to put his foot on the enemies. All right? He's going to make them a footstool. They understood this language in Joshua chapter 10. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua. Hey, they're conquering the land. Everybody with me? Quit worrying about lunch. They're conquering the enemy. And Joshua gets these kings. And Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and they put their feet upon the necks of them. Now these are the mighty kings of the land. God is conquering the land. God is going to, they come and they put their foot on these people's necks. Folks, that's conquering. You're down there, I'm up here. My foot's on your neck. Do you understand that Jesus Christ in this exposing the scripture says this is what the Messiah is going to do. He's going to put his enemies they're going to be laying on the ground and his feet's going to be on top of their neck. And Joshua said unto them in verse 25, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. They understood the language of Psalm 110. They understood what Jesus Christ was saying. What I'm saying is that they, Jesus exposed the truth to them, that they're looking at Messiah, but yet they're not understanding he is Messiah. He takes the word of God in Psalm 110. He proves to them that he is the Messiah because he is not only a man, he is Lord. He is King. He is all. Oh, they wanted a man. Listen, you know what they wanted? They wanted a man to conquer Rome. They didn't want a man to conquer their heart. You know what we need today? We got a bunch of people who are lost on their way to hell because they want some man to do something for them, but they don't want somebody to be their Lord and Savior. They don't want to be saved the Bible way. And Jesus exposes the scripture to them. They have misconception, but it's all about an invitation. When the Bible is exposed, truth is always revealed. I don't care how many times I read through my Bible, it's as fresh and powerful today as it was the day I got saved back in 1984. And I can read through something, and I might have read it, I don't know how many times, 100 times, but it is able to come off of that page and is able to pierce me into the heart. It's able to rip me. It's able to pick me up and shake me. I mean, it is able to shake the foundation of my soul because truth does that. Many people will have a misconception, but it is still truth. When truth is exposed, then it is their invitation to believe or to trust. Now think about it. Jesus Christ is preaching to men that are very close to salvation, so He exposes the Scripture to them and says, "Fellas, everything you understood about serving the Lord thy God with all your soul, all your heart, and all your mind is true." Now let me ask you something. Who is the Messiah? Is He the Son of David? Yes. Well, listen to this. He's more than a man. He is God. He is Lord. And you're looking into truth's eyes, and I'm trying to get you to understand this is an opportunity for you to be saved. Now, everything that I said that Jesus said to these men applies to every person sitting here today. Every person. The Bible is still as true today. Jesus Christ is still Messiah. He's still God. He's still the way of salvation. You may have a misconception because you've been told that you got to be baptized for salvation, or you got to do this for salvation, or you got to hang on. That's a misconception. You won't find that in the Word of God. You will find that you must repent and trust Christ as your Savior as the only way of salvation. And when that gets convicted, then you have to make a decision. I'm either going to have a misconception or I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior, or I'm going to say, no, not now. Because for all we know, these guys go, wow. And they could have been shaken and they could have been convicted, and it might not have been until Acts 6, 7 that some of them got saved. But they couldn't get saved unless God was dealing with them. But you still don't know when the last invitation is. You're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ, and God deals with you and shows you your need, and you say something like this: well, maybe I'll get saved tonight. There may not even be a tonight. The Lord may come this afternoon while I'm taking a nap. Because I will take a nap. And it'll be too late. And you'll go, wow, that was the last invitation. If the grace of God extends, you might get another chance. But I'm just saying, we're not promised that. We're not promised tomorrow. Jesus is saying, fellas, you're very close. You got to get it from your mind, and you got to get it in your heart. If God, I want you to think about something, and I will just bring it down as far as just on this level. Jesus Christ possesses the attributes of God. In every part of the gospel we read, we saw that He did the works that only God can do. And by the way, can I say this? He accepted worship, and only God can receive worship. And let me ask you this question. If God became a man, and He did, what would we expect Him to be like? Sinless? Holy? Undefiled? Words that are great? Supernatural power? Profound influence? Love? Grace? Kindness? Compassion? Justice? And judgment? Listen to this. Jesus was all that. Because He is God. And Jesus invited them to be saved. And what they wanted to do and what they actually did was rejected Him and crucified Him. And when they did, they thought, well, we got rid of that. Now we can go back to our life. No. Sorry. Wrong answer. 3 days. He goes to the heart of the earth. He preaches in paradise. And then He led paradise out of the earth and placed it in heaven. You cannot override God. You cannot override the Word of God. So you know what the greatest day of my life was when the day that I quit trying to override God and I accepted Him and I got saved. Now the question is, where are you at today? I pray that you'll trust Him before it's too late. Let's stand this morning.